And we're going to look this morning at the life of George Dana Boardman, George Boardman. And he, kind of an unknown name, but very interesting life and ministry. But he would eventually go to Burma and work among the Karen people. And just to give you some maybe an idea here, Adoniram Judson went to Burma in 1813. I think he arrived in 1813. So about 10 years later, George Boardman and his wife were called to the field, and they were appointed on April 30th, 1823, in Washington, D.C., to leave for the country of Burma. They would arrive in Burma, I believe, in about 1825, around that time, and that's important for what I'll tell you later. But they arrive in Burma about 1825, and God began to bless. Now, Mr. Boardman took a couple of years to learn the language, to get some of those things in order, and then he and his family to a city named Tavoy, and in April of 1828. And as soon as he was there and established, had a meeting place for his church, the biographer says that he began his work with apostolic zeal and with a firm trust in God that his work would not be in vain. Immediately, God gave him two converts, and then something interesting happened that would have great reward. They had in their home a servant who was a former slave. His name was Ko Thubu. Sorry, I'm sure that's not how it was pronounced, but Thubu, Ko Thubu. And he was once a slave, but he was freed by the missionaries. They bought his freedom, and he was working there with them in his home. He accepted Christ as a Savior. And the interesting thing about this man was that he was actually a man known as a Karen. And that is, which means wild men, actually. That's actually a race of people in Burma. And, of course, he'd been working with the Burmese, and then he met this man who was his servant. He was saved, and he was a Karen. And God laid on his heart to then begin working with the Karen people. Now, the Karen people lived in the mountains. They lived in villages, really in the mountains of Burma. They did not live in the main cities. They were kind of a... they were looked down on. There was a lot of racial tension between these people, and the Karens lived in the mountains, and they lived. It was very difficult to reach them, but he, with his co-laborer Ko Thubu, began to go into the mountains and win these people slowly to the Lord. I want to tell a story that's interesting. Well, I'll just tell you this before, as we get going here. But now. Missionary Boardman would not live this long, as I'm going to point out later. But by 1910, the work among the Karens had grown to, there were 774 churches. There were 50,000 members in those churches. I read that today, Burma is a closed country, but in Burma today, there are thousands of Baptist churches because of this man. Just amazing work that has grown, even though we've not been able to get into Burma for maybe almost 70 years. And... but anyway, when they were touring around the churches, the missionaries often, as he began to build these, see these people saved and put together churches, there was a notoriously savage tribe in the mountains that everybody heard of, but everybody's kind of afraid to talk about. And these people, this wild tribe in the Karens were known as the Breks. And they basically were cannibals. They were very fond of eating people, uncooked meat, drinking blood, and even the tribal people, even the Karen people, feared these Breka people. They were known to be plunderers. They would attack villages, drag people away, kill them. Just terrified the Karen people. At one of the meetings, the matter of evangelizing the Breks was discussed, and nobody volunteered to go. There was another appeal that, you know, we need to reach these people, even though they're terrible people. And finally, Mr. Boardman, he stood. The man that wrote this biography said that almost as though he was talking to himself, he said, "I am sorry for the poor Breks who know nothing of God or his law to men. And I am very unhappy because no one will go to them with the Lord's great tidings. And if my church will give me leave, I will go." And so the church... accepted that. They sent him. Some argued that he ought not to go alone. And he said, yes, if God says me, he will take care of me. They persisted, telling him that he did not even know the way to get there. And he said, the man of God said, God delivered me from the mouth of a bear. I guess he'd had a couple of very close situations. He said, God delivered me from the mouth of a bear once. He said, God also delivered me from death when I was crossing a swift stream. He will be with me in this work, no matter how difficult. So he committed his family to the care of the local church. He took a New Testament and a hymn book was all he took, and he began his journey. The people followed him until the boundary of the English territory, and then they left him there. Everybody was terrified of these people, and he pushed on alone. The second day, he reached a mountain where he could look down. He could see the smoke of the distant villages of these Breck people, and he continued down the mountainside. Late in the afternoon, he neared a village. Unbeknownst to him, he was being watched for some time. And unbeknownst to him also, he was approaching one of the most wicked of the Breck villages. He was, again, being watched. Suddenly, these men, thinking him to be in advance of another attacking village, surrounded him with their spears and with their knives. And anger was written all over their faces, he said. But the evangelist stood quietly. He said to them, do men of war go about in the daytime alone and unarmed? And then pulling out his Bible and his hymn book, he said, this is the white book of which your ancestors have told you about from ancient days. And he's referring to something that I don't even know about, but evidently there was in their in their history the story of this white book that they needed to listen to. And he said, this is the white book of which your ancestors have told you about from the ancient days. He said, it speaks. Listen. And then he read and began to read his Bible. He put his Bible down a little while later and pulled out his hymn book and he began to sing. Now, he was had a beautiful voice, and he was singing. The tribal people were fascinated with his voice, but he was singing for his life, he said later. And he said, the love of God flooded his heart for those savage people, and soon his music calmed the angry hearts of those wild men. The men put their spears down, he then, with a little more boldness, told about why he was there and began preaching to them very clearly the message of salvation. He told them how the Lord had sent him to deliver that particular message. And as he spoke, he said he could just tell that he was gaining the confidence of these people as he spoke. They took him back to their village. He didn't know quite what to think of that. I wonder if he was going to be dinner. But they took him back to their village. The reception was so great that he remained in that village for 3 weeks preaching the gospel to those people. He felt after a while he had to get back to his family. He was concerned about his family, and he left the Brecks promising to return. Just in a few short months, a church was established. Other villages responded. A church and school was set up. And all this is the result of a fearless man who just accepted God's call into what was certain death. Nobody would accept this call. We're going to talk a little more about him next week. I want to tell you the rest of his story. But something that I should tell you, which maybe would help you see how God used this man. I said he arrived in 1823. George Borman would be dead by 1825, and George Borman would be dead 6 years later. In those 3 or 4 years, he reached these people that turned into hundreds of churches and thousands of converts later. God evidently is still working among those people even today. But one biographer said, we should be grateful to God that he gave the Baptists such a pure, holy, consecrated pioneer in the early missions among the Burmese and the Karens. And what God has done through this man that we really don't know much about, George Boardman, and very bad health. He would die within a few years. But God greatly used him. This morning, I want to thank the Lord for George Boardman and his family, and we'll learn a little bit more about them next week.